Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. Denver, Colorado, and New York, this is Democracy Now!
We can add a few names like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He came in. And he's going to help make America healthy again. And now he's a great guy, and he really means it. He wants to do some things, and we're going to let him go to it.
President-elect Donald Trump has nominated one of the nation's most prominent vaccine skeptics, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., to head the Department of Health and Human Services. The watchdog group Public Citizen calls Kennedy a clear and present danger to the nation's health. We'll get response. Then we look at Trump's pick to head the Department of Defense. Fox News host Pete Hegseth.
Pete Hegseth, in his book, the War on Warriors, outlining a plan for what sounds like total war on the American people here at home, the deployment of the U.S. military domestically in service of his idea of a what he calls an American crusade.
We'll speak with Dartmouth professor Jeff Charlotte, author of The Undertow, Scenes from a Slow Civil War. And we'll talk to Cornell professor Enzo Traverso, author of the new book, Gaza Faces History. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. President-elect Trump has picked Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to lead the Health and Human Services Department. Kennedy's the son of the former senator and attorney general Robert F. Kennedy and an environmental lawyer known for his vaccine skepticism. Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, he encouraged people not to get vaccinated and has instead promoted treatments proven to be ineffective, like hydroxychloroquine. This is RFK Jr. speaking to podcast host Lex Fridman last year.
Can you name any vaccines that you think are good?
I think some of the live virus vaccines are probably averting more problems than they're causing. There's no vaccine that is, you know, safe and effective.
Kennedy last year advanced a racist conspiracy theory that COVID-19 was targeted to certain ethnicities and that Chinese people and Ashkenazi Jews were most immune to the disease. He's promoted baseless conspiracy theories linking environmental chemicals to homosexuality or gender dysphoria. He's also peddled conspiracy theories about water fluoridation and is a supporter of the consumption of raw milk, despite FDA restrictions on its sale due to the threat of harmful bacteria. In other transition news, Trump's tapped North Dakota Republican Governor Doug Burgum as Secretary of the Interior, selecting a major supporter of oil and gas drilling to oversee the bureaucracy tasked with managing U.S. lands and natural resources. In 2017, Burgum ordered the eviction of a resistance camp set up by Lakota water protectors opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline. As governor, Burgum signed a near-total abortion ban into law, a ban on trans girls and women from participating in school sports, and legislation banning the teaching of critical race theory. President-elect Trump has also named three of his personal lawyers for top positions at the Department of Justice, putting them in charge of the agency that carried out criminal investigations into Trump's mishandling of classified documents and his efforts to overthrow the 2020 election. Trump's nominating Todd Blanch as Deputy Attorney General, the Justice Department's second most powerful position. He selected Emile Beauvais to serve as Principal Associate Deputy the Attorney General, and D. John Sauer as Solicitor General. Meanwhile, Democrats are urging the House Ethics Committee to release their investigation on Matt Gaetz, who just resigned from Congress and was tapped by Trump to be attorney general. ABC News is reporting a woman testified to the panel she and Gaetz had sex when she was 17 and in high school. Israel's military launched more deadly airstrikes on Beirut's southern suburbs overnight, shortly after issuing new forced evacuation orders. The attacks on the Goberi and Birj al-Barajna neighborhoods leveled entire residential buildings. The districts where some 700,000 people used to live and work are largely empty due to Israel's assault, now in its eighth week. Lebanese officials say the latest Israeli attacks killed at least 37 people, including at least 12 emergency rescue workers killed in a strike on a civil defense center in the city of Baalbek. Meanwhile, Syria's government says at least 15 people were killed and 16 wounded, including children, when Israeli fighter jets bombed the Syrian capital, Damascus, on Thursday. Back in the United States, Rashida Tlaib, the only Palestinian-American member of Congress, has called on Secretary of State Antony Blinken to resign after he refused to hold Israel accountable for failing to allow U.S. aid into Gaza. Humanitarian groups report aid deliveries have fallen to an all-time low since Blinken issued his ultimatum, with just 37 trucks entering Gaza per day in October and an average of 69 trucks per day in early November. Congressmember Tlaib spoke from the House floor Thursday, displaying a photograph of an emaciated Palestinian child.
U.S. law is very clear. No nation blocking U.S. humanitarian assistance can receive U.S. weapons. The Biden administration cannot pick and choose when they comply with our own laws. Children are forced to eat pet food and bug-infested flour. Look at this and do not turn your back on again, being complicit to this war crime. But Blinken says there's no need to change our own policy.
The New York Times is reporting aides to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are being investigated for altering official reports of a phone call by a top general who warned of the Hamas attacks on the morning of October 7, 2023. The probe suggests Netanyahu may have been informed of the attack before it happened, which he has denied. Over 1,100 people were killed in the Hamas attacks. In the more than 13 months since, Israel's killed over 43 Palestinians in Gaza, though some estimates put the true death toll at over 300,000. Elon Musk secretly met with Iran's ambassador to the UN in New York Monday to discuss how to defuse tensions between Tehran and the United States. That's according to the New York Times, citing two unnamed Iranian officials. The Trump campaign has refused to comment. Meanwhile, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency visited Tehran Thursday, seeking to restore UN inspectors' access to Iran's nuclear program. Iran cut off access last year and has abandoned limits on its nuclear activities since former President Trump in 2018 unilaterally withdrew the U.S. from the Iran nuclear deal, known as the JCPOA. On Thursday, the head of Iran's Atomic Energy Organization said Iran would not succumb to pressure from the second Trump administration.
The Islamic Republic of Iran has been the only party to the nuclear agreement that has unilaterally and with complete goodwill fulfilled all its commitments within the JCPOA for 1.5 years. It has been the other party that has not acted on its commitments, has withdrawn from the pact, and has not allowed others to cooperate, and has also imposed much harsher sanctions against the Iranian people and the Islamic Republic of Iran.
In Sri Lanka, the leftist coalition of the new president, Anura Kumara Dissanayake, has won a landslide victory in snap parliamentary elections. Sri Lanka's first leftist leader, a self-described Marxist, now has the legislative backing to enact his campaign agenda, which focuses on renegotiating a deeply unpopular IMF bailout and corruption. President Biden's in Peru along with the representatives of 20 other Pacific Rim nations for his last Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum. Ahead of the official meetings of APEC today, police cracked down on protesters in Lima who called out the repressive government of the interim president, Dina Boluarte, and the exploitation of Peru's resources.
Foreign investment can come as long as they leave progress and benefits for the Peruvian people, because this country is killing us with transnational mining companies and polluting our rivers and burning our jungle. I don't think any country would agree.
President Biden will head to Brazil next for the G20. A concurrent people summit will also take place in Rio, bringing together human rights, indigenous and climate activists. The European Union's fined Facebook's parent company, Meta, over $840 million for violating antitrust laws through its Facebook Marketplace classified ads platform. European regulators say Facebook Marketplace has an unfair advantage over competitors due to the dominance of Facebook's social media network. Norway has formally apologized to indigenous people and other minority groups for its policy of forced assimilation, which for over a century separated families and sought to eliminate native cultures. The Norwegian parliament issued the apology this week to the Sami, Kven, and Forest Finns and outlined the actions it's taking to provide redress, including protecting minority languages. There are also ongoing disputes over land rights for the Sami, roughly 100,000 of whom live in Norway today. Over 10,000 people in New Zealand are taking part in a march toward the capital, Wellington, to protest legislation that would reinterpret an 1840 treaty, considered New Zealand's founding document, and rolling back longstanding rights for indigenous Maori communities. On Thursday, 22-year-old Maori lawmaker Hana Rahiti Maupi Clark tore up a copy of the proposed bill and was joined by other lawmakers in performing a Maori haka on the parliament floor, suspending the session. This comes just days after New Zealand's Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, offered an apology to the survivors and families of hundreds of thousands of children and vulnerable adults who were physically, sexually, and psychologically abused in state institutions over the last 70 years. A large proportion of those were from the Maori community. Here in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul's reviving the city's congestion charge program, with the new toll set to go into effect ahead of the inauguration of Donald Trump, who's vowed to kill the plan. The new pricing will start at $9 for most vehicles entering Lower Manhattan during peak traffic, down from the original $15 that was planned before Hochul abruptly called off the program in June. Climate activists like Fridays for Future's Keanu Arpels-Josiah are urging Governor Hochul to put the future of New York's youth ahead of politics.
Listen to our generation and take action on the climate crisis by also signing the Climate Superfund Act, one of the biggest pieces of climate legislation in the country, still awaiting her signature.
And the satirical news outlet, The Onion, has acquired InfoWars, the website founded by the right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. InfoWars was put up for sale in a bankruptcy auction as part of a $1.4 billion settlement against Jones for defaming the families of children killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook school massacre. The Onion says it had the support of the families and plans to relaunch the website as a parody of right-wing influencers and conspiracy theorists. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman in Denver, Colorado, with Nermeen Sheikh in New York. Hi, Nermeen.
Hi, Amy. Public health officials are decrying President-elect Trump for selecting Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to head the Department of Health and Human Services. Kennedy is one of the nation's most prominent vaccine skeptics.
That is, you know, safe and effective.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is an environmental attorney who's been accused of spreading numerous public health conspiracy theories about vaccines and other issues. Kennedy has claimed HIV may not cause AIDS. He's claimed chemicals in the nation's water supply is leading to a rise in sexual dysphoria in kids. And he once said, quote, COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and black people. The people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. If confirmed, Kennedy would head a sprawling agency that oversees drug, vaccine, and food safety, as well as medical research. During his victory speech last week, Trump praised Kennedy, who'd endorsed Trump after dropping his own independent presidential bid.
We can add a few names like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He came in. And he's going to help make America healthy again. And now he's a great guy, and he really means it. He wants to do some things, and we're going to let him go to it.
Robert Weissman, co-president of Public Citizen, described Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as a, quote, clear and present danger to the nation's health. Weissman said, quote, Donald Trump's bungling of public health policy during the COVID pandemic cost hundreds of thousands of lives. By appointing Kennedy as his secretary of HHS, Trump is courting another policy-driven public health catastrophe, unquote. But Kennedy's nomination has been praised by others. The Democratic governor here in Colorado, Jared Polis, wrote on social media he was excited by Trump's pick because of Kennedy's calls to lower drug costs, eliminate pesticide-intensive agriculture, and reduce big agriculture's control of federal nutrition policy. Governor Polis wrote, quote, he will face strong special interest opposition on these, but I look forward to partnering with him to truly make America healthy again, unquote. Governor Polis's office later released a statement clarifying his views, writing that the governor, quote, definitely does not endorse actions that would lead to measles outbreaks and opposes unscientific propaganda that undermines confidence in the life-saving impact of vaccines, unquote. We're joined right now by Lawrence Gostin, professor of global health law at Georgetown University, where he's the founding O'Neill Chair in Global Health Law and director of the O'Neill Institute, which has been designated a World Health Organization Collaborating Center for National and Global Health Law. He's also the author of several books, including Global Health Security, A Blueprint for the Future. He's joining us from Potomac, Maryland. Professor Gostin, thanks for joining us again on Democracy Now! Your first response to hearing that President Trump has nominated RFK Jr. to be head of the Department of Health and Human Services.
Well, thanks for asking. I have been working in public health now since the AIDS epidemic more than four decades ago. I can't think of a darker time for public health in America and globally than now. And with the appointment of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. To lead all of our nation's esteemed scientific agencies, it really does make my heart sink.
And Professor Gostin, could you elaborate on what those agencies are, what all they're responsible for, and how much power Kennedy would have if he actually is confirmed by the Senate?
Yeah, he'll be the head of the Department of Health and Human Services, you know, which covers all of our most venerable scientific agencies, the U.S. FDA, the CDC, NIH, and the list goes on and on. He'll also be responsible for our Medicare, Medicaid programs. So we're basically HHS has a portfolio that expands the entire length of health in America. And this is the point. Those agencies set the gold standard for science and public health recommendations. If Kennedy were actually confirmed by the Senate, it would mean that the world's most influential and well-funded anti-science skeptic and anti-vaccinationist would be at the head of it, where he has no fidelity to truth, to science, and he spews out public really lies about vaccines, raw milk, ivermectin, water fluoridization. He will make America sick, certainly not healthier again.
And Professor Gostin, in fact, it's not just that he would make America sick. He would, in fact, potentially make the whole world sick, because the WHO and other health agencies around the world do rely on what the CDC says. If you could comment on that.
Yes, of course. I've been thinking a lot about that. You know, basically, agencies like the NIH that set treatment guidelines, the FDA, which approves drugs and vaccines, and CDC, which has public health guidelines and has a presence in 65 countries around the world, they rely on U.S. Agencies. And once Trump and RFK Jr. poison the well of science and evidence, fomenting distrust in CDC and state and local health officials, this is a huge problem, not just for the United States, for the world. I can tell you there's great trepidation in Geneva, in Africa, Latin America, parts of Asia, and I hear it every single day. It really is a dark day for global public health, and particularly for the United States, because I often ask this question, you know, who would you rather make decisions about vaccines and drugs? Would it be career scientists at the FDA, NIH, and CDC? Or would it be Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? And simply to ask the question is to answer it.
So, Professor Gostin, I'm speaking to you from Colorado. And Jared Polis, certainly not known as a supporter of President Trump, the governor, has actually endorsed this choice. He wrote that Robert Kennedy helped us defeat vaccine mandates in Colorado in 2019. We'll help America make America healthy again by shaking up HHS and FDA. I hope he leans into personal choice on vaccines rather than bans. And he talks about, I'm most optimistic about taking on big pharma and the corporate ag oligopoly to improve our health. Before you mock him or disagree, I want to share with you, and he goes on to some quotes. So I want to ask you about all of this, because the health of the nation is more than vaccines. But on the issue of vaccines, are you concerned? I mean, you have the Washington Post saying the nearly $2 trillion health agency oversees health insurance programs, including Medicare, Medicaid, and Affordable Care Act, and helps lead the response to natural disasters, et cetera. Could they stop insurance from covering vaccines, for example? But on the issue of the ag oligopoly, big business controlling agriculture, pesticides, make some distinctions here.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. Those are really great questions. On vaccines, that's the simple one, because he's the world's most influential, well-funded anti-vaxxer in the world, and he's probably single-handedly responsible for thousands of preventable illnesses and deaths by fomenting distrust in what is really a public health miracle and what CDC has called the greatest public health tool of our lifetimes, and it is. So he has really very little credibility. Yes, he could do great damage. For example, the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices makes recommendations about which vaccines under the ACA can be free and are effective. They make recommendations about school-based vaccinations, although those final decisions are taken by the states. And every single person on ACIP is going to be, their term is going to be up in the next 4 years. The HHS secretary appoints them. And so he can appoint vaccine skeptics. It could have a corrosive effect. But let me talk about the importance of what Trump and Kennedy were talking about just the other day, which is chronic disease in America, what we in public health call non-communicable diseases, diabetes, respiratory diseases, cardiovascular diseases, and the like. These are really super fueled in the United States by what we call the standard American diet, which is SAD, S-A-D. And we have an explosion of overweight and obesity, particularly in our children, but also throughout the American population. If he were to do something like that, of course, we would all applaud him. But you can color me skeptic. A person who spent his life denying evidence, fomenting conspiracy theories, who actually attacked in a tweet just the other day, career scientists at the FDA. That's not somebody I trust with food supply and nutrition in the United States. I've not seen one policy from him that's based on science that would work. Yes, there's lots of things we can and we must do in this area. We should have much better nutritional labeling, which other countries around the world do far better than we do. We should have nutrition and health education in our schools far better. We should have healthy school lunches, and we should reduce the content of excess sugar, unhealthy fats, and sodium in our products. Do you believe he would do any of those things? I'm very skeptical.
And Professor Gostin, just finally, I just want to point out that Trump's announcement came on the same day that the WHO and the CDC said that there's been a 20% increase in measles cases worldwide. That's in 2023. What chance do you think there is that the Senate will confirm him?
I hope zero to negligible, but at this point, I would have been shocked to see what America has turned into, and it, particularly in its attack on public health and science itself and career scientific professionals that are really just for very little money trying to do their good work. And so at this point, I can't say. I don't think what I can say is this. Saying he's unqualified for that position is a vast understatement. He's the exact opposite of somebody who you would want that would have fidelity to science and public health.
And of course, whether the Senate would approve him is one thing. Maybe they won't be given the option with a recess appointment, and we'll continue to follow that story as well. Lawrence Gostin, thanks so much for being with us. Professor of Global Health Law at Georgetown University, was founding O'Neill Chair in Global Health Law, director of the O'Neill Institute, which has been designated as a WHO Collaborating Center for National and Global Health Law. Among his books, Global Health Security, A Blueprint for the Future. This is Democracy Now! When we come back, we'll look at President Trump's pick for ambassador to Israel and to head the Pentagon. Stay with us.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to rule the world by tears for fears. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman in Denver, Colorado, broadcasting from PBS 12, right here in Five Points Media Center, also home to our colleagues at Free Speech TV, a wonderful media center, joined by Democracy Now!'s Nermeen Sheikh in New York.
Concerns are mounting over Trump's pick to lead the Pentagon, Fox News host and military veteran Pete Hegseth.